I'm really excited that we're going to have a bit of a panel conversation today. Oh, it's going to be great. So without further ado, actually, I'm going to invite our four guests to the stage who will introduce themselves. So if you could just give it up for them as they come to the stage. If they heard me. Anybody? Are you there? I promise you there's people joining us. Hey, come on, guys. So there's Stefan, Julie, Nada, and Dave. Take a seat, guys. Okay. Are we all okay? I'm just going to try and sit on this without falling off. Otherwise, we're going to have some problems. Okay, Brill. Hey, why don't you guys first just tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll talk further.
Okay, cool. Hey, everybody. So my name's Stefan. I've been coming here for just over a year. I'm married to my wife, which is somewhere over there. Her name's Irene. That's me.
Brilliant.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Julie. I'm married to Paul, who's sat over there somewhere with my friends. We've got three amazing sons, the youngest of which is Benjamin Tarbuck. Now we've got two beautiful daughters-in-law as well, and two gorgeous grandchildren. So that's me.
Brilliant.
So I'm Nada. I've finished college last year, and I'm part of Live Free. Yeah. It's a youth group, for those of you who don't know. Yeah, and I'm on a gap year right now.
Well done, mate. Nada and I work out together. Why is that funny even? I'm Dave. It's my awesome privilege to lead the community here. Glad you showed up this morning.
Okay, just give me a quick show of hands. Who was around last weekend at the gathering? Quite a few of you, brilliant. So you'll know that Steve Matthew, who was here, part of the team, he was sharing about stewardship and what it means to manage on behalf of God. And you know, we believe firmly that everything God gives us, our time, our finance, our relationships, is something that we get to manage and also then that we have a responsibility for. And so I want to remind some of you or tell some of you for the first time, you know, in the Gospels, in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus gave people of faith an incredible mission. And he said this, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded. And I love that when Jesus said that, he didn't put loads of different add-ons, but not if this, but not if you're an introvert, you know, but not if you don't want to. It was a directive command, go and do it. And for me, when I think about what Steve spoke about last week, it's part of how we steward and take responsibility for the things that God has given to us. And if you're in here and you're a person of faith, we were going to unpack that a little bit more this morning. And hopefully, if you're here and maybe you're here visiting for the first time, you'll maybe hear something that encourages you, inspires you, or just sheds a bit of light on some truth as well. I'm going to take you a bit further back now. So if you were around at the back end of October in 2018, Dave, who's on the end here, spoke about life spaces. And it was a really, really significant morning where he asked, you know, if you want to even give an hour to help someone live the Jesus way, will you stand up and respond? And many of you were here. And actually, the majority of the room stood up and responded, said, do you know what? That thing that Jesus asked me to do and the thing that that Dave's reminding me of this morning is to help someone live the Jesus way. I want to do that. And there was an incredible atmosphere and environment in this room. And so we want to pick up on that again this morning with some really, really practical stories from these guys who are helping people to live the Jesus way. And the language that Dave put to that was, even if you just had 1 hour a week to help someone live the Jesus way, you can do it. Yeah? So it's an hour space. So, Dave, I think it would be helpful if you told us a little bit more about what you meant when you talked about hour space, and to you, what does it mean to help someone live the Jesus way?
Yeah, so going back to October, it was, last year, when we spoke about life spaces, and you really surprised me, okay? Love your way. If you listen on the podcast, you surprised me as well. And you guys that are here, in the overwhelming response that you really want to do this, that you really want to help people, which is great. And you're all right responding to me this morning, if you want to. If you really, thank you. And I was really encouraged when I brought that, because I was thinking, God really challenged me on that morning that I was bringing to you about this whole idea of our space. It was the idea for this was actually only on that morning when I was praying in my office before I came and shared about life spaces. And do you know what? It's just a different word for what has been happening for decades and hundreds of years, where people have just been given a bit of time to someone else to just live the Jesus way. And, you know, I find that people want to help each other, and even in the community, people speak to each other, but sometimes we miss out the main ingredient of doing this the Jesus way. Yeah. So we help each other with our kids, and we help each other how to do this and how to do that, but, you know, with God right in the center of it, that's the key. And that was the thing that I wanted to hit on that morning, with that overwhelming response with you guys saying, yes, that's what I want to do. So helping someone live the Jesus way is simply talking life and faith together. It's like, this is what my life is like at the minute, but how do I do that with Jesus? Yeah, what would Jesus do in this situation? How can I learn to live the Jesus way? When it comes to money, what would Jesus do? Simple things, but harder things like bringing up kids. I wonder what this looked like for you, because you've been a Christian for so long. For me, I've only just become a Christian and I've got kids. Tell me, how do I do that the Jesus way? It's that kind of thing. Really.
When we were talking earlier, Dave, you mentioned about part of not just your motivation being just to be obedient to what Jesus asked us to do, but even your own experience of that. Can you tell us a little bit about perhaps how that's happened for you?
Yeah, so quite simply, from being a child, I've always been in a church community. My father and mother led this church community before I did with my wife. And so I've always been part of this church community since I was 2 years of age. And so I've been here a long, long time. And I remember growing up and actually finding Jesus for myself. You know, with Jesus around everywhere, I had to find him for myself. And when I kind of got there, people would help me live the Jesus way. So sometimes I would ask questions of people that were around me. And other times, people just offered me advice and help. You know, Dave, you could do this, and this would be the Jesus way. This would be really helpful for you in life to grow, to learn, to be a real disciple of his. So the thought was, someone did this with me. Someone did this for you. Why would you not do this for somebody else? And that was the thought.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Hey, I'm just conscious, even in this room now, we can sit and think, well, that's okay for you, or that's okay for the person sat next to me because they have more knowledge than me, or they've got all their ducks in a row. Guys, we spend so much time trying to get our ducks in a row that we enter paralysis, that we don't do anything. Yeah. You know, this isn't about having everything together and being perfect. When we think about our space as an expert and a novice, we get it wrong. We're talking about life and faith. We're talking about real people living through the grit and the triumph of life, and saying, hey, come alongside me while I do this. And I think that's pretty exciting. So, Julie, I'd like to hear from you. Being a grandma, and now you're retired, I know that means you're more busy because you have grandkids. What does helping someone live the Jesus way look like in your life, really practically, if you could just tell a story or just tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I've been thinking about this and reflecting back on my own life, really, and I became a Christian in my 20s. I'm now like in my 60s, so time's flown by. And I've been through different seasons, and things look different in different seasons. You know, I've been through the busy times, I've been through the quiet times. You know, I've been through the empty nest syndrome time, which was horrible, and my children had all gone, and my husband was going, yeah, we've got the house to ourselves. And I'm like, no, my babies have gone. Yeah. And so I've been through all that. And you know, we get to a stage of life when I know some people think, okay, that's it now, I'm retired. I can, you know, kick back a bit and relax. But for me, it's not like that, because we never retire in God. You know, there's always things to do and more exciting things to do. You know, it's been... I think life is great now because we have got more freedom, and just to be able to explore different avenues and to have time to meet up with different people, it's great. And thinking about my life as a Christian, a lot of people have invested in me. Like you said, Dave, a lot of people have invested in me and my life. And, you know, it's only right that I invest in other people. And, you know, my best example for me is Jesus himself and the life that he lived. I think even, you know, I mean, he was a busy guy. He fitted a lot into those 3 years. But when I thought about that, he always had time for the individual. He always had time for the abandoned, for the lost, for the lonely, for the poor. He always had time. He stopped whatever he was doing and focused on that one person. And I think it's so important these days because in church we can. I think there are a lot of people who are lost. They may be in church and they may be amongst a crowd, but they're still feeling pretty lost and pretty confused, maybe abandoned, maybe lonely. And it's important for us to gather around those people. So Jesus is my main example. The other inspiring person in my life is my mother, who's 88. She's not here this morning. But you very often see her on a Saturday in Wigan preaching the gospel and, you know, sharing the gospel with people. So, you know, I can never retire. I'll not be allowed to because I've got my mother still at it. But, yeah, and I think about a story. Rachel asked me to think of an example where I came alongside a person. And it was interesting because I was reminded of it because I came across a card that she'd sent me a while ago. And I remember it was quite a few years ago now, a good friend of mine, her husband died suddenly. She woke up in the morning to find him dead on the floor. And she was only, you know, she was in her late 40s, very young, same age as me. And at the time, she wasn't really engaged in church. She was struggling anyway. And then that happened. And, you know, what can you say in that situation? There are no words, really, that would have helped. And knowing who she was and the person she was, it wouldn't have helped if I'd have gone quoting scripture to her or saying everything will be all right. That wouldn't have helped at all. And at the time, I was busy in the old church that we used to go to. I was helping on a marriage course. So every week, it was a different theme. So they were having a meal. And one week it was a Spanish meal, Italian, Indian, Chinese, different ones. And I was in charge of the decor, decorating the room, dressing the tables. And so I went to my friend one day and I said, come on, you can help me with this. And, you know, her first response was, I'd be no good. And I said, look, I need your help. So she came along with me. We scored charity shops, we were looking in the loft for things, we were going shopping. Now, she loves shopping, I don't, but she loves it, so she was in her element, calling up for a cup of tea on the way, obviously. And, you know, week in, week out, she helped me with that project. And, you know, very probably ungraciously, when I first thought of asking her, I thought, you know what, Julie, you do things a lot quicker without her. But not very Christian-like. But anyway, I got over myself and thought, no, I will bring her along. And you know, that is just what she needed. She came, she helped me. I had fun. We had a laugh. It got her engaged in church again. It wasn't so scary for her to meet people and talk to people again. And we had a good time. And, you know, years later, she sent me a card. It was a special birthday of mine. And she'd written something really lovely on the card. And she said, that was just therapy for me at that time when I needed it, you know. And it wasn't complicated. It wasn't hard. It was natural. Absolutely. And we have got to be natural and do things in our own way that are natural. We've got to be ourselves and try not to be someone else. Try not to have all the answers because we don't and we never will. And it was just a natural thing for me to do. And she just tagged along. She loved it. And I was thinking only a few days ago, thinking about this story, and I thought, God, you are amazing, because she probably hadn't realized, and I hadn't realized, that it was a marriage course. She just lost her marriage, but she was investing in future marriages. No, only God could sort. Only God could do that, couldn't he? You know, she was like blessing other people who were about to get married. And, you know, we don't know what the future holds. But You know, whatever we do for God, it's not lost. And even though we're getting on a bit, doesn't mean to say you can't be useful, because, you know, I'm involved in a lot more things now than I ever used to be, and it's great. So if you sat here thinking, do you know what, I've done my bit, no, you haven't. There's things for you to do, and there's people who need someone like you.
Thanks, Julie. What I like about what you said and when we spoke earlier was that this has been an intentional decision for you over many, many years. And you've told the story from your past, but actually this is your present reality as well. And, you know, you may not be like Julie. You might be raising young kids with a full-time job. And things can feel pressurized. Things can feel like, how do I have any time? I can't even brush my teeth. I hope you do brush teeth. But I can't even fit in at the minute. The normal things. This is about an hour space. If you even think, even if you can give an hour to help someone live the Jesus way, sometimes we've just got to get more creative. For Julie, it was taking somebody to go and buy some decor. We can think that the natural things are so meaningless. Do you know they can be so powerful? Creating space for faith, life, conversation to help people live the Jesus way. I asked a great woman in this church community just to share a thought with us. She's written it down. We've got a picture of her, I think, on her family. Coming up there any minute. Her name's Joy Oliveros, and she said this about how are her and her husband Roberto creating our space to help others live the Jesus way. She said this: we love to spend time with people exchanging life stories, encouraging and challenging one another. Our biggest hurdle is finding time amongst our work and family responsibilities. However, we came to the conclusion that everybody needs to eat. Yes, now you're all on board. You're like, I'm for this. So talk and eat maximizes the use of our time and has created some pretty special memories along the way. You know, for some of you guys, raising kids, you're working, and things do get challenging. You know, being around the table, going doing your food shopping, getting a babysitter, novel idea, and going to invest time in someone else. Can I tell you, it is worth every part. Sometimes we've just got to ask ourselves, hey, God, am I really doing the thing you've asked me to do? Or am I spending my time doing a lot of other things that are okay, but they're not the thing you've asked me to do?
Very good.
Stefan. Stefan, as he said, is here with his wife, Irene, and their beautiful girl, Anaya. Yeah. Stefan, you work full time. You've got Anaya is your little girl. She's lovely, but I'm sure a handful. Stefan is quite new to this community. He's been around at TCC for the past year or so. Stefan, you had faith before, but I just wanted to ask, since you've been a part of this church community, I know you've had investment and just come alongside other people. Can you tell us a bit about what that looked like? And also, why did you think it was important to make space for that in the midst of everything else?
Hi, guys. This is really weird because I'm used to singing, and I said it before, I'm used to like playing the drums, and now I have to like talk. So this is pretty weird. But so in the space of time that I've been here, I've found it easy because I think I'm one of the people that's easy to make friendships with. But one of the people of which I've obviously managed to gain a friendship with is Ben Tarbuck, who's obviously the campus leader here. Which made it really easy. I think one of the first few weeks that I came in here, he said hello and started to go into more detail about who he was. But we had a great, it started off as just obviously just chit-chats, and whether it be in postcode or the first time he spoke to me, he says, oh, it was like straight away he says, oh, you've got something, but he didn't really go into great detail about it. So we just kept on, and I think, at the end of the day, it's just a friendship that makes it easiest to make space for other people. So I think if you start with a good foundation of friendship, it makes it easier for you to make more space. A great saying that my mom, mother-in-law likes to say is you make time for the things that you love. So if you love, and I do say it to Ben, I do love him, so it's a case where I make time for people that I do love. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great. I think we wanted you guys to hear from someone like Stefan because he's relatively new to this church community. You know, even in the room today, sat people who've been around here years, and some of you guys who are here for the first time, some of you guys who've decided to come to faith even in the last few weeks. And you might be sat here thinking, I don't really know anyone. And you know, part of our challenge as and a response as the church is, if you never speak to anyone on a Sunday other than the people you always speak to, you'll never meet people like Stefan because you come and you go and we know life is busy. Sometimes we've got to just stop and change our habits, sit somewhere different, have a conversation. I know sometimes if it is not your personality to just approach someone, this can be so daunting. Go with someone. Take someone with you who is better at this than you. Just make a friendship. As Stefan said, friendship and the basis of that can be food, it can be coffee, it can be common interest, is just to make a step towards other people and say, hey, I recognize we all need someone alongside us on this journey. Why don't we go for a drink next week? Or do you want to come and do my shopping with me? Or do you want to come to my house for dinner? Do you want to meet at the pub? Whatever that is. Nada, the youngest of us all up here this morning. Nada, when we think about our space and we think about helping someone else to live the Jesus way, you said before you're on a gap year, life's different for you again. What does this look like for you?
So, Mike, can you all hear me? Yes.
So, for me, it looks quite different than for Stefan, for example. So, I have a lot more time, so my problem wouldn't be carving out time. And last year as well, I made an intentional decision that I'd spend more time with people around me, and I'd almost create a family culture. And yeah, I have a lot of time. But for example, it looks different. So whereas Stephen might invite someone around to his house, I couldn't do that because I don't have my house, for example. But it could look like getting someone a drink or. After youth on a Friday, we go to the pub or we go to a coffee shop or just inviting as many people into my areas of life. So we go to the gym or we go and watch the football together. And yeah, but I think the biggest problem would be is priorities that I face. So if I've got work on a Friday, for example, but I'd make it a priority to get down, even if I miss youth, for example, on a Friday. Make a priority to get down and make sure I go and hang out with the people after youth. And yeah, just make it intentional. And yeah, that's basically it.
Really good, Nada. Thank you. Dave, I'm interested. Oh, have you got a microphone in there? Oh, I was like, what's he pulling out of his pocket? I'm interested to know, we've heard from these guys about what it looks like for them. And I'm conscious that the commonality between all of these stories is about helping someone to live the Jesus way, but the practicalities are very, very different. So, Dave, I'm interested just from your own experience, your own story, and your present practices, what does this look like for you?
Okay, so, Anik, you know, you've got different age groups, different life stages of people on here, very intentionally, because we're all kind of at different places. For me at the minute, and for many years, it's looked quite differently and looks differently now. So I would be giving our space to quite a number of people at the minute, and that can look anything like a walk. So if I'm maybe two or three, at least I can think of where I would walk for an hour with someone, and basically we just chat about life. And faith. And sometimes if it's not too forthcoming, I may say, okay, this is what I want you to do. I want you to ask me a question about family, you know, family and God. I want you to ask me about church life. I want you to ask me something about God himself, whatever, and just bring out of people so that they're asking stuff. Because sometimes they're not necessarily, you know, you extroverts out there, you're fine with that. You may have to just draw that from them a bit. So that may look like a walk. Sometimes it looks like a pint at the pub on a Thursday night. Sometimes it looks like a late afternoon in a coffee house with someone. Sometimes it looks like, and it's a little bit like Julie was saying before, you know, we think about how much time we've got and how much time we've not got. Sometimes we just have to rearrange or use differently the time that we already use. So if I'm working on something at my house, I've got a job to do, I may say to someone, you come and give me a lift with the job that I'm doing, and we can talk while we're working together. That works, actually. And so any one of those things, and I don't know, maybe if I could comment, Rachel, just on the thought of this, because there's so many people that need your hour space. And there are so many. One of the things that I spoke about in October was the fact that God is sending us so many new babies into the church community. I'm talking about new Christian people who don't know anything about faith, and you don't think that you know a lot, but you know more than them. And that's why I was appealing to us that there are so many. You've seen some of those examples of those people this morning who found Jesus for themselves. Did you watch either on screen or at the tank this morning the faces of those people before they went under the water? You'd think it would be fear and trepidation. Some of them were crying. Some of them, there was just elation in their face just on the basis of they found God. But they're babies and they need feeding and help. And so this isn't just about someone who's been coming along here for a long, around here for a long time. It's partly that. This is about new babies that actually need to know how to live the Jesus way. And you know more than them. And whatever way you can find to do it, whether it's walking, whether it's buying them a drink, a meal, if you've no house yourself, going out somewhere, getting them to help you work on something, you can talk about life and faith and help somebody learn the Jesus way. That's the important thing.
Thanks, Dave. I think sometimes we're a little bit frightened of this. We respond or we want to, but we feel frightened because we're scared we don't have the answers. I'm scared I don't have the answers, but I know that I don't. And I think Julie commented on that we get so frightened about being asked something or challenged about something that we won't understand, and we let that stop us from doing anything. You know, sometimes the best thing to do if you don't know the answer is say, I don't know. And actually go on a journey with that and accept that sometimes we don't have the answers to things. This isn't about being a biblical scholar or just focusing on a set of spiritual disciplines. You know what? We know the Word of God. We know prayer are important things. They're foundational to our journey of faith. But sometimes we make that the absolute pinnacle, that if we're not growing there, if we don't know everything about that, we can't help anybody else. And it sends us into paralysis while people sit and they just say, they're waiting for you to just say, do you want to go out for a coffee? Do you want to go out for a drink? Do you want to take the kids on a play date? Whatever that looks like for you. I would encourage you, what Dave said is correct. You know that response at the end of October? It was pretty powerful. And so we want to help you and enable you to say, let's remove the barriers. Hey, this is normal. Yeah. It's not always easy, but it's definitely normal.
Yeah.
Okay. Last question, Stefan. I'm interested, Stefan, with the fact that you've been on the receiving end of some of this and some important relationships. What's now the challenge for you? Because, of course, you've received something. You're growing in faith and have been. What does our space now potentially look like for you?
It's hard to answer. Great question. But I think it just starts with just this. I think for me, what it is because we've got a great bunch of guys that we speak to on a regular basis, and we have a friendship. So one of the things that we do is Grow Group, which Ben and Bobby, JC and Sammy Lou are involved in. We just basically just come around, sit around a table, and just have a conversation. It could be a conversation around marriage, or it could be a conversation around just life in general. A lot of times, it turns into a talk about theology, just questioning our existence. But a lot of times, when I'm sat in the car, which I call my safe space, it's just I spend 5 or 10 minutes just thinking about what we've spoken about. And a lot of times, challenging conversations, just basically just talking about how we can be better. A lot of times, that's what comes out of it for me. That's my challenges. So I sit and think about that. But then it automatically is something that I reciprocate to either my wife or in conversation with Emmanuel, who's my brother-in-law. Whether it be on a what we call Fish Fridays, or we go to the pub, that's what it looks like. So that's the way I give back. And that could just be a normal conversation, just about life. And as he's dating Dave Belfield's daughter, sometimes it can be a conversation about relationships, or sometimes it's just about how do I figure out this thing called life? Because he's mirrored some of the things that I've done, gone through. We're very similar alike, but we've got a lot of differences. But these are the types of conversations that we have. So that's the way that I give back. It's just a friendship. I think a lot of the times when Dave mentioned it, a lot of the religious folk in here automatically thought discipleship. And we just overcomplicated it straight away. It was like, oh, I've got to find someone who I can open the Bible and say, this is what the Bible says, or arrange a prayer session where we ought to just, oh, this is what we should do. I think it's just a case where we just strip it back and just say, let's be friends. So, yeah, that's really it.
Real. Thanks, Devon. Our time with the panel's coming to a close, but before I dismiss them, and you can thank them because I've really enjoyed hearing their stories, I hope you found it helpful. There's got to be a next step now, or a first step. You know, many of us, it was our first step at the end of October to stand and respond and say, hey, I'm in for this. This is actually what Jesus asked me to do. And as a person of faith, I want to do what he asked me to do. This isn't just a one-way street, I'll give, and I won't receive. You know, when you give, the fact is we were designed to give. We were actually designed to refresh and restore as we give out. We sometimes think as we receive, that's where we grow. You know, when you give, that's where you grow in every sense. And so you might be sat here saying, well, I responded that day. I want to ask you before we leave, what is your next step, or what is your first step? Is it just making a new friendship? Is it speaking to someone after the gathering today? Is it getting in contact with someone who you've not seen here and you met them last week and you say, do you want to come for dinner this week? I don't know what it is and I don't want to put that in your mouth, but what is your first step? And, you know, for other people in here, you're sat here and you're saying, I'm new to faith. I want someone to give me some of their hour space. This what I'm going to say is bold and brave, but would you be willing to maybe even just start a conversation with someone else? Maybe share that with someone that you're new to faith, that you've just made a decision to follow Jesus, and maybe you just want someone to come alongside you, and would they be willing to do that? Or just make a friendship. I love what Stefan said about just starting a new friendship with the intention of saying, come on, let's do this together. Let's live the Jesus way. So either a first step or a next step, what is it? These guys are going to continue doing what they're doing. For each of us, many of you already do this. It looks differently. For those of you who stood and responded, what does this look like now? What does it mean for you to go away? Have a chat with your spouse if that's relevant. Have a chat with yourself. Have a chat with your friends and say, what could this really look like for people in this community, for people who are coming to faith every week here? What does it look like? Is that okay? Good. Right, I want to give it up for these guys. Can we thank them as they leave the stage? Yeah.